opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We were busy taking a photo.
You have some chocolate?
Yeah, I brought chocolate.
Mm. Every time I Shasta live.
Every time I don't, Nigel scolds me. You see these bruises all over my arm?
Yeah, you got bruises on your face.
I got bruises. I got bruises today.
Good evening.
Good evening. Shasta live by the Shasta County Chamber.
We're here. It's KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
What day
That's
is
where
it?
You're tuning in. Today's Monday, the 24th.
24th of February.
February.
That's one of my favorites. February.
Everybody having a good day?
I had a very busy day.
How was the Reading Bridal Show?
It was good. Yeah.
Did you sell any chocolate?
We sold a little bit, but you know.
Those are leftovers?
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly what they are. It wasn't really a sale show. I mean, in some cases, some people had them. Well, we did have things for sale, but mostly it was tasting and for people to see and to show your wares of what you could provide to them in their wedding. And so we were pushing an alternative besides just traditional wedding cake and that stuff we were talking about. We could do a really cool, truffle pyramid in the shape of a cake. We could do our new, bark boards, which is like a charcuterie board, but all of layers and layers of different type of chocolate
Jason
bark.
And I don't do charcuterie.
Shaka Khan.
This is ham and cheese, right?
Ham and cheese. Beef. And cheese.
That was a segue.
Yeah, segue.
Our guest today. Anyway,
I was done. The segue took me away. I had whiplash by the segue. This is like, this is like Wild Toad's ride here at Disneyland, right? You got to hold on to your head because it changes course very quickly. So,
speaking of, aren't you guys having Dr. Danuka on today?
Dr. Danuka will be here at 6:30.
What does that have to do with Toad's Wild Ride?
Chocolate.
Oh, chocolate.
And beef.
Oh, don't worry. We'll
say that. And Dr. Danuka.
And then, somebody telling you you're diabetic.
You're on something here, Mike.
Okay.
You're diabetic. I'm not diabetic tonight.
No.
Well, someone who just changed her mind about being on the show.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, what do I agree
to?
One of our friends, Elwood Ranch, making We've quite a name for themselves.
Been doing a lot with them lately.
Yep, Elwood Beef.
Big, cool stuff.
And they actually have somebody who roams around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
with the
county.
Yeah, with a dark bag full of meat.
Yes, slinging meat.
We are.
Alicia, good evening.
Good evening. How's everybody?
Going?
It's going great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up.
Happy to be here.
So you work for Elwood.
I do.
Why don't you give us a little bit of a background, like where are you from originally?
Well, I'm originally from Red Bluff, California, and that's currently where I live.
Long way away.
It's just a little hop skip down the road a little bit.
So you're a Red Bluff girl?
I am a Red Bluff girl.
Born and raised?
Yep, born and raised, and then went high school in Fortuna, and then the family moved back, and so did I.
Oh, very nice.
Doing business in Shasta County, huh?
Yeah.
Yep, doing business in Shasta County. And
she's a Tehama trader.
She's
nice. I am, but I spent a lot of time up here in Shasta County.
Yeah. And beyond.
That's right.
All over the North State.
All over the North State.
Mm-hmm. Have you traveled anywhere else around the world anywhere? Or
I've been to
Red
Canada.
Red Bluff North? Oh. North of Red Bluff?
Yeah. And then been to many states in the U.S. So got
Canada,
to do some traveling, but Canada was awesome.
Yeah, one time it was its own country. Now it's a 51st state. So you really haven't been
in
the country.
It's never been its own country. We'll stay away from that.
We're not going there.
Not going there. Have you looked at their money?
Not recently.
Show me the money.
It's got the queen on it.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And she's been gone for a long time. But she's still on the money.
A lot of gold. A lot of gold moving around.
Yeah, there's a lot of gold moving around.
Yes. Speaking of gold, beef.
It's like expensive as gold.
So how did you end up with at Elwood?
Well, I've known the Elwood family and the Harrison family for about 15 years. And the girls, Jen and Will's girls, show cattle. So I generally tend to go watch as many shows as I can there. And they kind of approached me, Kenny and Megan, with the offer to come work for them and help them with the do more direct-to-consumer on the beef side sales and then help with marketing. And
cool.
So I took it on and came on part-time while I transitioned out of my full-time role with another company and then came on full-time at the start of this year. And it's been great. I've been loving it.
So if Kenny's listening, Kenny, if you're listening and you want
to
call
listening?
In and
call in.
Give Alicia a hard time,
harass.
530-605-4567.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Do it. That's 1-800.
Give us a call. We'll get
so
you
the,
on.
The last time.
So you've been connected to the family for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
So it was kind of like a easy transition.
Yeah, it's an easy transition. I wasn't born and raised in the beef industry, so I did take college courses in ag business and animal science. But of course, that was, you know, well over 15, 20 years ago, and when you don't use it.
I was going to say she's going to say that, but it looks more like about 6 months ago. I mean, you look at her face. She looks like she's about 12.
It's good genes.
Direct to consumer. Yeah. Can you break that down for those of us who can't follow all that jargon?
Yeah.
Lingo?
You poor soul.
Thank you, Mike.
Direct to consumer would be, we're selling beef to a customer, an everyday customer such as yourselves, or direct to a restaurant.
Versus selling
directly commercially, and then they distribute it from there.
Yeah. I mean, most of our food is sold to big conglomerates that buy it, warehouse it, then put it on trucks, and then distribute it to us at the grocery stores or, in restaurants like U.S. Food, they show up at your door with a truck full of boxes and things.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're saying, direct to consumer is being able to, you and I being able to access it direct from the producer versus having to go to a grocery store or have middle people doing that. And a lot of people prefer that because that's kind of the whole concept, a little bit of knowing your farmer kind of a situation, right? Like you can go, a lot of places will let you come look at their cattle when they're out in the field and, you know, you get to see how the animals are treated and, it's more of a lifestyle buy-in, I would think, for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people will, I've done it for years. We have our own cattle, so we'll do that, but I recently, not too long ago, bought a whole hog from somebody, I got to see where the hog was raised and how it was fed. And then, it had processed at Kent's. And so it's really nice because you know what you're getting. You're not,
So I got to say, in our household, we are kind of beef snobs. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, here you go. That wasn't referring to you directly. That was more of like.
And, we are kind of snobbish about our beef. And I got to tell you, the Elwood beef, I mean, regardless of whether.
Well, last show, you guys
not,
got.
But those,
you guys
those
went
were
to
amazing.
The back of the truck.
Yeah.
Right? And it was like they just piled it out for you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But the Elwood beef is really good, and we keep hearing that. So what's the secret to the Elwood beef?
Tell us the secret.
Or tell us half the secret.
Probably just their passion and their legacy, and they always strive to do better, and they, they're very at the top of the curve of everything. So not only
really, they are very forward thinking in a lot of ways. I mean, when I heard him talk, it was like, whoa. I mean, they're like tracking DNA down to literally to DNA.
It's a whole process. Greek to me,
I love that.
But to them, it's their passion, and they can look at numbers and they can tell you this and that. And I mean, with the genetics, you can look at the marbling, you can look at the hanging weight, the carcass weight, the tenderness. Mm-hmm. So they can grade all that stuff in there.
Carcass weight, fat content.
Mm-hmm. So it sells itself.
It sells itself.
So what do you really do?
You're
then
sold when you take one bite. No seasoning.
But it's good. They've been doing it for many, many years, and it's been carried on through generations.
I think I asked them. So, I mean, obviously the cattle are out to pasture, and they probably get fed grass hay and things like that. But do they finish out their animals? They grain them out, or are they all only grass fed?
So they're grass fed and grain finished.
Grain finished, yeah.
Yep.
Which there are a lot of people that are like grass fed only. I don't care. I want my meat grain finished.
There you go. Let's take our first break. Are you ready, Mr. Producer Dude?
Producer Dude.
Yep.
Producer Dude.
That's a T-shirt.
Do it, dude.
Do it.
And we'll be right back.
Bruh.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
There we go.
Take it away, James. Come on.
I'm chewing.
Yeah. Welcome back, Shasta Live. Nigel, James, Jason.
You know what? James and Jason, the Nigel mixes things up. Can we find a name for you that starts with a J? Jizel?
That's fine. We have Alicia with Elwood Ranch. Elwood Beef.
You're great.
I seem to be seeing the Elwood name, you know, around a lot more. Is that by accident? There's a food truck coming.
We don't know about that.
No?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe.
You
maybe
would
not
know.
Was that premature?
I know.
Buzz rumor?
It's a buzz rumor.
It's a buzz rumor. There's a food truck maybe down the road here, you know, maybe.
Quite possibly.
So, Alicia, do you have your commercial driver's license?
We'll put this to one on, Alicia.
I do not. Right. I will not be the one personally in the back cooking. I mean, I could try, but may not be as good as who will be cooking.
So you go around selling the beef. So is the phone ringing?
The phone is ringing. And so, I do a lot of just pop-ins and handing out samples and talking to people.
So
and
give
just
us some
trying
names.
To,
yeah, some names. That where somebody might be able to go to either a restaurant that does serve the beef or a location that does serve the meat that's, you know, packaged and frozen for them, that kind of thing. Because I know of a few, but I'll let you share.
So some of the restaurants you can find Elwood Ranch Beef are Lake Shastina Golf Course. They have a little grill, so you can go up there and, you know, play a round of golf and then go in to the little grill and have yourself an Elwood Ranch burger.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bantam Kitchen and Cooler here in town. Oh, if you haven't had their double smash burgers, they're phenomenal. And then also the Golden Fang. He's constantly changing his menus. And
he's at the airport, right?
Yes, at Benton Airport, yeah. And he's always coming up with some
I haven't been
fun
there in
stuff.
A while. I was there right when he opened, and then I apologize, I forgot. But I know him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I love what he's very creative.
He's really very creative.
It's like, wow.
Yeah. And then for all the Tama County folks, Palomino Room down in Red Bluff.
Oh, yeah.
They have Elwood Ranch Beef for their burgers.
Oh, that's cool.
I personally like the Cowboy Burger. That one's my favorite there.
Was it a big patty?
It's big patty, barbecue sauce, onion rings, all the cheese, all the good. And then they have their own little Palomino Room brand that they brand on top of all the burgers. That's a nice little added touch.
I like that.
And then the Sum of All Smoke food truck. She's going to be using some of our Wagyu beef and some of her chili this week. Ooh. So, yeah.
And I know that you can get it also at the farm
at
store.
At the farm store, yep.
Downtown Reading.
Downtown Reading, just around the corner.
Yeah.
So you can pick up some hamburger, you can pick up some steaks, and then we just dropped off last week. If you like some of the more specialty, like beef tongue, if you have a thing for beef tongue tacos.
Oh yeah.
They have some beef tongue. They have marrow bones. They have some neck meat. So they
have. Do you like beef tongue tacos?
You know, I have not tried it, but it's on my list to just try it, just to see.
It's actually really good.
I'm sure it is.
No, it is.
And with cilantro.
I
just didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
That's my thing. My thing is visual, right?
You have to cook it a long time.
If you don't tell me what it is, I'll eat it.
Mm.
But as soon as you
meat surprise.
As soon as you throw a tongue in a package in front of me and say, "Oh, this is what we're making," I'd be like, "Yeah, not the taste buds. I can't."
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was going to ask you is, because I'm pretty adventurous and I'll pretty much eat anything, but I know you guys also are heavily into goats, but. Are the goats, how many goats did she say she had? Like 1,000? It was like crazy.
Right around there, yeah. So that's Megan. Yeah. Megan does the goats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what are the goats primarily for? I mean, what are they being bred and raised for? Are they processing for meat as well, or?
Some of them are for processing. So she has a couple restaurants that she sells them to. And then also she does breeding. So she'll have them there for the kids to show in 4-H and FFA.
Okay. So she's selling them too as.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if you come to Sizzles here in downtown Reading, there's the kitchen that has recently changed hands, the new owners are Charity and I just had it in my head and now it's Kobino, right? And Charity is from Nigeria and her husband Kobe is from Ghana. And we have been working with them. My chocolate shop's underneath their place, and right, so they've been doing all kinds of really cool African food pop-ups at their store and stuff. But Nigel and I and Spencer wanted to pitch an idea to them, and one of the customs, obviously, was when you come into their home kind of a thing that she was sharing with us that they do a dish, you know. And so she brought in this just massive dish of food, and it was – incredible.
It was goat.
Yeah, but it was
sounds
goat,
good.
Right?
It was goat.
And so I've always found it interesting because she told us it was goat. Didn't faze me at all. I ate it. Tasted just like beef. I didn't. But I always thought most of the world, goat is a primary source of protein in many, many, many countries, but not here in the U.S. And I'm always interested to know why, because I think maybe it's because people here think of them as pets. I don't know. So, because that's why I was going to ask. I was like, you know, I'm sure there are, you know, she obviously has some restaurants that have goat meat, but I know somebody here that probably would obviously use it since it's customary in their dishes.
Yeah, have to let her know.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So did you like the goat meat?
Oh, it was amazing. Actually, yeah, so you had to run and you had just come from lunch. Spencer, we talked for a few minutes while we all ate, right? And then everybody had to leave, but, Kabina and I, and we just sat there and gorged ourselves on it. And then they were kind enough to send me a to-go box, which then I ate the next day for lunch. It was amazing. And the dish was, whatever their traditional sauce was, is kind of more of a really heavy, and I don't mean heavy in a bad way. It's just, it's thick. It sticks to the to the meat, right? Which is great because it doesn't come off and it's very
gravy.
Spicy.
Kind of a gravy.
No, it's not a gravy, but anyway, beautiful, right? But they throw fresh chopped onions, cucumbers, tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So they're all uncooked. So they're fresh and crispy. So that really kind of more heavy sauce that's very spicy is broken up by the fresh
vegetables. We can tell you liked it.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm like, I'm reliving it, right? Somebody
catch me. You're going to write that on your Christmas note.
Detail here, James.
Somebody catch me. I'm swooning.
Yeah.
I'm swooning.
It was incredible. It really was.
We'll have to get on to the whole goat thing.
But
in the meantime, I have one question about Elwood. And so I'm noticing a trend because we, in our household, we've done it also where people actually more often buying either a quarter or a half a cow or a whole, a whole beef, right?
Yeah. So yeah. We had, We have quarter beefs. We have half. We had a gentleman come in and pick up a whole beef a couple weeks ago. And so that's something that you can split up with your family, or you have a couple people that have split it like a half a beef with their friends. So we do have quarters available.
Can you come out and wander the pasture and then pick out the one kind of like you do at lobster, at Red Lobster in the tank? I want that one.
I mean, somebody could always talk to Kenny about that and see if they could pick out their beef, possibly.
I want
that
you.
You're mine.
So that would be fun. That's at some point we'll have a QR code to where you can scan it, and then you'll be able to know, you know, later down the road, of course,
that's pretty cool,
where that beef came from, mm-hmm, when it was born, who its parents were when it was harvested, yeah, where it was
James, if
raised.
I see your name on the list of parents.
Oh, God. You're sick. But you crossed the line.
I did.
You crossed the line right there.
No, I have a feeling with you the line is a lot further down. You know. But that is actually, you know, if you're listening, and that is actually a really good way, and it works out to be less expensive if a few people go in actually on either a quarter or half a beef.
And sure, that is just the bonus, right? For me, that, I mean, the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a threshold for everybody with price. So, we're all struggling to make ends meet and do all those kinds of things. But for me, the end all be all is exactly, you know, where your food came from.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And it's important because everybody now wants to know
it's
where
been made very
their food
clear
comes from.
What they've been doing to our food, right? I mean, the shocker for me was when RFK did that comparison where they took a box of Fruit Loops or whatever it was side by side, the one that, you know, sold in America, and then a box that came from Canada. And it was like Canadian Fruit Loops had like 6-8 ingredients and American had like 18, oh, right? And it's like they're the same product, but why, mm-hmm, is ours filled with all this stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's same with other countries, like European countries too. They ban lots over 1,000 ingredients, like even in your makeup, skincare, shampoo, conditioner, mm-hmm, and then over here there's, I think, like 11.
Yeah.
So
I think that is a bonus to Elwood. I don't know how many other. There are a few cattlemen in the ranches, Northern California, obviously, but knowing that the Elwood cattle, that the cows are here in Igo and up in Shastina, right? Mount Shasta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they have some here in Bella Vista area, too.
Oh. So a question for you real quick, because it's almost time for another break. But so this would be my question, and I apologize if I put anybody on the spot. But so for me, the grass-fed, I know people talk about that all the time, and then they talk about the grain finishing. For me, the grain is obviously given to the cattle because it helps to add fat to the meat and make it less gamey. It's more marbly and yummy. But is the grain that you guys use as a non-GMO grain for the cattle, do you know?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Because that would be my own thing, right? Like, that's going to be a question people would have is like, okay, so you're graining them out, no big deal. But, I mean, if it's a genetically modified grain, that's the big thing, is like a lot of the corn and the soybean and all those things that we feed that are being fed to our animals are all very GMO'd, you know, and so that's what people have a fear of, is that, you know, whatever the cattle are eating then is transferred to you. I mean, if you're pumping them full of hormones and giving them grain that's all GMO'd, then, you know, what's the point, right?
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, one or two more minutes left here. How can people reach you? If you're a restaurant owner,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to find out information on getting a
beef. Yeah. Okay. Bovine.
Or if you just want some hamburger meat or a couple steaks for the night, you can call me direct or text me. My number is 530-917-7253. You can also reach us at sales@elwoodranchbeef.com. We are currently working on a website as well, which will be elwoodranchbeef.com.
Who's doing that for you?
I wonder.
You guys sell jerky, too. You guys make your own jerky?
We do not. No.
Turkey?
Jerky.
Jerky.
Oh, jerky. Kenny does jerky. I thought you said turkey.
I thought you said turkey, too.
Turkey season is coming up soon, though. We could go out and get one.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Our pleasure.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Paul Danuka.
rides in the sun till his day's work is done and he rounds up the cattle each fall.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Yeah.
Can you turn that up?
Yeah, showtime!
Welcome to Shasta Live. Shasta County Chamber. Well, I mean, that's such a good riff, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was because you were, like, really into my dancing. You just wanted it to continue.
I want to see James dance. I always like to see him dance. Pull some moves.
Be careful. I have size 15 shoe. I will kick every single one of these mics off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Size 15.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Welcome.
okay, so... do we call him doctor, or is he's now a politician? So do we call him city councilman? Do we call him senator?
That like, sounds, like, to me, like, that sounds like danger. Like, doctor and politician? Dangerous.
Did you ever consider yourself a politician?
I've crossed over to the dark side now.
Yeah.
I've crossed over to the dark side.
Let's just stick with doctor, because we'll just go that route, and then when we take our first break, we'll come back and say then... Council member.
Darth Vader.
Council member.
We'll just do all. We'll do all. Lord. We'll do all the above.
So Dr. Paul DeNuca, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be with the most friendly bunch.
Oh, good.
We do our best.
Yeah.
But the chocolate helps.
Yeah, chocolate helps. Lots of chocolate.
Yes. Okay. So first things first. You know, this was your first time running for office. Yes.
Actually, I did run in the past for a position as an assembly position, mm-hmm. but this is the first time I ran for the city council.
And were you pleasantly surprised when you won, or was it like one of those things where it was like, okay, what have I done? Like, because I know people who've run for office and they win and they go,
oh my gosh, I won. I actually have to do something?
What am I getting into now, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I took this pretty seriously because this town, this area has been really, really nice to us. We have been really blessed. Me and my family have been really blessed by this community.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear.
So we owe this town a lot. So we take this pretty seriously, and it's never easy to run for an election. I mean, I actually recommend that every one of us should run for one office, public office in their lifetime. Mm. Teaches you something about our republic.
Mm.
So I take this as a very, it's like a civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
I take this very seriously. So I was pretty determined to win. And I got a good response, and our message resonated with the people. And the good thing was that we ran on our agenda rather than being pulled into somebody else's agenda or any polarizing fights or mudslinging or at all. So I was pretty happy about that part. Mm-hmm. That we kept our city election and all the five candidates who ran with us, we were very friendly with each other and we kept it very clean. And
to be honest, you're right. Now that I think about that, right, I did watch a lot of it and I did watch a lot of the candidates on their social media and stuff. And most of them were very much more just focused on what they were running on versus their opponent.
Right.
So, which was nice. I didn't really even, it didn't even kind of register in my head until you pointed it out.
So I was pretty happy about that, how we ran the election campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I was very pleased with the results. I expected to win, but frankly I did not expect to win with this much margin.
Mm.
And that was definitely a very pleasant surprise. But this speaks about, not about me, it speaks more about the public. The public really wants us to focus on common issues which affects all us citizens, you know.
The ones that we're belly aching about 24/7 that never seem to be addressed.
So bread and butter issues, you know, bread and butter issues. So
yeah.
Local control of bread and butter issues. That's what we ran on, and that shows you that what public really wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty pleasantly surprised about the margin and
what was it, by the way? Go ahead, gloat.
It was actually what I'm told is that it was a record.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and we had almost a 2-to-1 margin.
Yeah.
So
you're hot.
but also makes me you know.
Don't worry about.
It makes me even more serious about the challenges that we face.
Right.
That public is putting their trust in us. So it makes me even, it's a lot of weight, which I do want to take it very seriously.
Well, also the thing is that politically, as things go, right, sometimes what we see in our system is that you run on your policies that you want to implement, but once you get where you get there, your hands are almost tied by the system that doesn't allow you to break through or implement what you want to do.
That's absolutely right. I do feel that frustration that many times we are just continuing what needs to be done. And if it's working, I don't want to change that.
Yeah.
That's great. But I'm very happy for if something is working. But something that's not working,
mm-hmm.
we have to be willing to change. We have to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's my frustration, that when you come up with something newer, then people have a resistance to change just for the sake of inertia, just mm-hmm. because of inertia. That's the mindset which we need to get out of. And I ask those people the question that, what's the alternative? You have been doing something for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What is the result of that?
Mm-hmm.
If you give me an alternative, if you give me a plan, I'll go.
No, it's put us where we are right now, where everybody's complaining. So obviously it's not working.
Right. So something.
So you're also, well, obviously people know you in this community as a successful doctor, right?
Yes.
What has been the response from your patients?
Well, you know, that's a good part of living
this.
Have
fun with you?
my patients, I really love my patients, and my patients, I've been very fortunate to have the people who put their trust in my hands. And that's the kind of same thing I feel towards the city now, right?
Yeah.
You're putting your trust in someone's hand. That's a pretty serious responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're an assisting
very
surgeon in open heart surgery on the city right now.
Well, and me and my wife is a doctor too, you know, and we have been very fortunate to have the privilege that people have trusted us, and they have been very, very supportive. And in fact, I owe it to them that they have shown that trust. So that's why probably that kind of leads to trust amongst the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they
ahead of the campaign.
Only thing they were worried was, hey, I'm just going to be around. I'm just going to be available. So I just want to let you know that I have been out since 7 o'clock, and I just came from the work before I attended a city meeting. So I'm still working full-time. So I'm not quitting. I'm not cutting back. I'm still working full-time.
Well, wow. Take care of yourself, though. We want you around. Don't go crazy.
So you've had a number of city council meetings. How has that been? Has it been lived up to your expectations, or are there some surprises? Obviously, this is brand new. You still got to get used to it, I'm sure. But how has it been so far?
So I have been attending city council meetings before the election also to prepare myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things which I wanted to do and I promised to do was a cultural change. Sometimes in the past we have had some issues when there were not so happy movement within the council. Some of the examples were when they were trying to do choose a mayor or a vice mayor, you know, and there was some debate about it and some people were passed over.
Yeah.
And I decided to change that, and in fact my current council was very generous to me, and they nominated me unanimously to be the vice mayor and mayor next year.
Ooh.
And I decided to change that from the past and start a new chapter. So I actually respectfully declined that offer, and I nominated other people in those positions. So hopefully that's
more,
classical.
More, so your nomination was more of the traditional way?
And no, actually, I took myself out.
To make it go back to more of a traditional.
To put myself the last.
Okay.
And put others in front.
Mm-hmm.
Not just traditional.
Yeah.
I put completely myself out of the roster for now, that I will wait and I'll put forward other people's name to go ahead of me. And the reason is, that's a cultural change that we need. And it has to start with me.
Hey.
So I'm hoping that will become a tradition now.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
So that was the one thing which I wanted to do, the very first thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other things which really my priorities and the public has told me is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's on everyone's mind, including mine. I'm a business owner. I have properties and people break in and they trash my buildings or property and cost us a lot of headaches and the money too. So that's one. The other thing I have kind of taken up is building more of a robust mental health and drug rehab treatment center, like a hospital, small kind of tiny hospital kind of thing, which can serve our mental health, drug rehab, but that can also help in public safety.
Sure.
Because a lot of these property crimes or vagrancies are
mental health issues
connected with those things. Mm-hmm. So that's something which I'm trying to promote. City doesn't have any direct jurisdiction on it. However, I think city needs to take a lead on that. The reason is because it becomes a city's problem. Most of those things happen within the city limits.
Sure.
So I'm working with the county and other health clinics, as well as the hospitals, and as well as there is an association called SHARC, which is working on this. So I'm trying to see that how we can make this happen. Where are the gaps?
Mm-hmm.
How do we fill that?
So is this the medical school idea?
This is a little bit different. This is more of a mental health and drug rehab. It's called, the technical name for this facility is chemical dependency rehab hospital. Just to give you background, we used to have Shasta General Hospital, which was there for 100 plus years until it closed in 1980s. The mental health and drug rehab continued until mid 2000 or so, I believe. Since that closed,
Was that due to the Reagan?
So 1988. Yeah.
Right. Because all of it through the whole country.
Right.
I remember that.
And since then, we have had really difficult situations in our city in terms of mental health and drug use, but also in terms of public safety, in terms of property crimes.
Yeah.
So that is something which we need to recreate. How do we do that? My feeling is that all of us should come together as a community, you know, make a working group and make it happen. County has some funding for that, and they are looking at using it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also working with many, many smaller clinics and non-profit organizations.
Sure.
I do hope that all of them
make
can
a
come
look
together.
I always think about the state funding, right? Like, I don't remember what Gavin Newsom issued. It was like $28 billion for housing. And I'm like, you know what? I really believe housing is one of the first steps, obviously, because it's a safety thing for them or whoever needs it. But we see very clearly you can provide anyone housing, and many of them will not accept it or not take it because they have no ability to manage even that, right?
Right.
So, like, why are we spending so much money on housing when technically that money, in my opinion, should be on mental health? Because,
yes,
you know, once you have a little bit of clarity and you are getting mental health treatment or drug addiction treatment, your first inclination at that point when you start getting clear or clarity is, then I need a place to live and to get on my feet. But if you can't even, you know, here's a house or here's a shelter, it's like they're ill. They can't take care of themselves. They can't take care of the property. They can't take whatever it is. So I don't know. I always think sometimes things are so backwards.
Tell you what, let's take our last break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with Dr. Paul Hennecke.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you, like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
And now we're
come on.
Oh, we've been talking.
That was still part of the commercial.
The good stuff.
You just missed it all right here. James was dancing on the table.
And Doctor
always.
And Paul Hennecke told us how he really felt.
Oh no, we're not coming back as. We're not talking back. We're not coming back as doctor. Now we're coming back.
Oh, now it's politicians.
Politician.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Political.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Paul. No, okay.
Counselor. No, I mean, not counselor. City Council.
Yeah. So, big talk, big buzz.
Big buzz.
Is
I like that word, buzz.
Your idea about medical school.
Yeah. That's We need that. So,
which should not be a big deal. It should be like, yes.
Yes.
Let's go.
Do that. Yes. Exactly.
Let's do this.
And I'm preaching to the choir here probably, but I'll just give you the quick background.
Yeah.
So why do we need it? And what's the benefit? And how do we do it? Right? Three things.
Yeah.
Why do we need it? First of all, we have a shortage of doctors. I don't have to tell anyone. Everyone knows this.
Right. Not just here, the whole country.
Yeah, no, but especially more in Northern California.
Oh, sure, sure,
especially more in a rural area like ours.
Yeah.
For example, psychiatrists, you know, we should have like, Bay Area has 16 psychiatrists per 100,000 population. We have like three or four. Oncologists, like, you know, we used to have 6, now we're left with 1, just my wife. She's just here just because of me.
So, and she reminds you of that every day.
I know. No, she loves it. Yeah, yeah. loves it. Yeah. So we absolutely need it, right? But then we can, if we train our own medical doctors, but it's not just about doctors, about, nurse practitioners, PAs, or pharmacists, or X-ray techs, or ultrasound techs, and all kind of things.
MA. Mm-hmm.
Everybody. So if you train all of those people here, they're much more likely to stay
here. Stay, yeah.
That's one. Second, many of our young people, or even, later age adults, they may like to go to these healthcare fields, but they do not have any opportunity here. So they may end up going outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they do. Like my daughter, she ended up going to New York, though she had almost a perfect score in MCAT. Because there's not enough medical schools in California. California is number 42nd in the country in terms of medical seats. We have half
which is almost impossible to wrap your head around considering that our population
and our
economic power and all that stuff.
So we have half the number of seats from average, but probably one third or one fourth of many states. So these students, the two things happen. One is many of the young people may not even dream of doing that because it's very expensive and very difficult for them to leave the area and go out. Mm-hmm. So they give up on the dream, right?
Yeah.
And then they fill up those dreams with something bad, like depression or drugs or something else.
You're not laughing at that, but yeah.
Right? So this can really inspire our young people here.
Yeah.
The other thing is the cost of medical education is every medical student ends up putting $250,000 for tuition and another $250,000 over 4 years in living expenses. That's $500,000.
Yeah.
So just think of it. If you have 100 students, 50 to 100 students, let's just say 100, round number, 100 students per year, 4 years, you got $20 million coming in your economy every year.
Mm-hmm.
So the big benefit of medical school, in addition to getting more doctors, is going to be huge boom in our economy.
Sure.
Oh, big time. Well, and a medical school will bring other entities, will attract other entities.
Exactly.
To the area.
All around it. Yeah. So now you have our students, young people, leaving and not coming back and spending their money outside. We reverse the trend. People come all over the country to our area. It becomes a magnet.
Sure.
To attract the people and attract wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Attract those people, spend the money here. It becomes a big next economy for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask this question all the time. And our area has gone through the cycle of boom and bust. We had mining, and then we had timber, and then we had, dam, and then we had I-5. What's our next economic boom?
Well, for a long time, it also was medical. We did have a very thriving medical community because a lot of people came here to retire.
Exactly.
Because of the heat
And then if you don't have them, they might not come here.
Yeah.
So what's our next economic boom? Agriculture?
Possibly, but not.
Manufacturing?
Mm-hmm.
IT? Those are difficult things to have for us.
Yeah.
So this is not just about medicine. It's actually about our economy.
Yeah.
If we can build this will become a magnet for the rest of the country.
They will come.
They will come. And they will. And part of the reason they'll come is because healthcare still has good jobs available.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really get a decent job after any healthcare education.
Sure.
So that's why you have a lot of people willing to come in, and a lot of hospitals are willing to actually give you scholarships for that.
Sure.
So that is the reason. So there's a need. There's a benefit. The question is, how do we do it?
Yeah.
So people ask me this question. Is this possible for our small town? Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah.
Give you one example. Mayo, when it started, granted, long time ago, was 34,000 population.
Mm.
Rochester, Minnesota, where Mayo is still only 120,000 population. Go to Syracuse, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Morgantown, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They have medical schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost all of size or smaller.
Yeah.
So this is quite possible. Now, the next question.
Well, look at Chico. I mean, it's not medical, but it's a university.
So let me ask you. So, I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, right?
Yes.
So
to me, it does.
Yeah, me too.
So without naming names, what are they saying who are against this?
So
Is there anybody against it?
So, you know,
or they're just questioning it.
Whenever you say something, there always will be people who will be naysayers.
Yeah.
Questions are justified.
Yeah.
But you'll always find some naysayers. Mm-hmm. And my response to that is, hey, if you're with me, helping me in this, great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, it's okay. No problem. If you're against it, thank you even more, because now we are determined to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
See, he's a politician.
I thought he was going to say something like I would say, well, I'll remember your face and you'll get no services
and
when
you'll
you're
get
in the
nothing.
Hospital.
Nothing.
I'm just going to let you go.
No, he's become pretty good.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
But if you see this, Florida State University built a medical school and a couple of satellites, and they did a study, and they showed that it brings billions and billions of dollars to the state there.
Well, what I was going to ask, and then obviously teachers come, right?
Yes.
So some teachers, some remote, like you would work with other medical schools and do, you know, telemedicine kind of stuff, training, that kind of stuff. Because I was going to say, there's just, with the technology today and all that stuff, it seems, I can't wrap my head around what would be the negative, right?
Yeah. So, and my idea is, it's about consortium. I mean, right now, if you see most of the medical schools in the eastern half of the country, within California, most of the medical schools is in the southern half.
Yeah.
Northern California doesn't have much medical school, so most northern medical school is in Sacramento.
Sure.
That means nothing between Sacramento and Portland.
I was going to say, you can go all the way up to Portland.
Exactly. Yep. So we're talking about...
perfect, because this would be halfway.
Exactly. And this is not about just Redding or Shasta County.
No,
it's about all the 12 counties surrounding us.
What do you want to call it? Jefferson Medical Research School of...
we'll find out if someone can give us a lot of money for the naming rights.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
That's what you need.
Elwood
yeah.
Medical Center.
Elwood yeah. Medical
Ooh.
Center.
Yeah, so the question Ooh. Is, okay, the money.
T-Mobile Medical School. Yeah.
So where does the money come from, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, think of it this way. It's going to cost money. Going to cost, you know, depending on what exactly do you want, how big and all that, anywhere between $50 to $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big amount.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
But as a community, do we have it? Let me tell you, yes, we do. We spent $250 million in building that new courthouse.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The jail itself is going to cost $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So, where does the money come
and
from?
And those all just suck on the economy. They're not really generating anything.
Right.
They're not generating nothing.
But the medical school, the studies have shown it's a multiplier of 1 to 4.
Mm.
Every dollar invested in it actually multiplies the economy by 4 times.
Mm.
Those are the study from Florida.
Yeah.
So what I feel is that we all need to come together and then we need to ask the feds for funding.
Yeah.
Okay. Department of Agriculture, Department of Health and Human Services, current administration, we have seen that they had a lot of support from our area, rural area. Let's ask them for money.
Mm-hmm.
But first, to do that, we'll have to make sure that we all come together. Because we have to show that we are united in this purpose, as well as we are willing to put some of our own skin in the game.
Sure.
So I think it's great. I think it's a no-brainer. Okay,
we have a minute and a half left.
This is the most important segment of our show every time.
Congratulations, by the way, and trying to tackle something so large.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't do it alone. It has to be done by all of us. I need help.
I think it'll be a community effort.
Yeah.
But the most important segment of our show is always about food.
Food.
Think about food.
Show me the food.
So you've been here a long time.
Yes.
You know your way around. So we like to ask our guests always. So what are some of your favorite places to go eat?
Home.
Besides home. I knew you were going to say that.
And that is because
he's saying
you have somebody at home that is an incredible cook.
Incredible cook, but the second place is a friend's home.
Goat curry. What about goat curry? Do you guys eat goat curry?
I eat everything.
Same here. It all goes.
Well, I mean, I did quite a few good places around town, but... Frankly, you're going to embarrass me on the radio now.
No. Why is he going to say Subway?
McDonald's.
I was going to say McDonald's.
You're going to say McDonald's?
Hey, yeah. You know what? You're in good company. Trump loves McDonald's.
Make McDonald's great again.
Yeah, right. I love McDonald's. Hey, fast, good, cheap food.
Yeah. $5.
But as a doctor, I must say that do what I tell you, not what I do.
That's fun.
It's been a long time.
Thank you so much. We love having you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Just call you Paul. Paul Danuka.
Yep.
Please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Coming in. We appreciate it.
Yep. Much appreciated too.
We'll see you next
week. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.